Well, amen. What a blessing that was this morning as we've done things a little bit different, but I enjoyed the choir and the children coming up. Just an extra blessing for the services this morning. If you have your Bibles with you now, if you'd look with me to the book of John in chapter 20. John chapter 20. We'll be reading verse 24 down to the end of the chapter, verse 31. John chapter 20. If you would, go ahead and stand with me for the reading of God's Word. As I read, you can follow right along with me. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24. The Bible says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said unto them, 'Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, 'Peace be unto you.' Then said he to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said unto him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed.' And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.'" And let's pray. Father, we bow before you, and what a blessing it's already been just being in this place. Thank you for your presence here. And I pray now, God, as we look into this passage of Scripture, that you would use this to speak to each and every one of us here today. I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. After his resurrection, Jesus, now for the second time, appears before his disciples. The first time, Thomas was not there. This time, he would address Thomas. In verse 27, he says, "Then saith he to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither my hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless.'" Be not faithless. He's saying to Thomas, "Thomas, do whatever you have to do, but be not faithless." For verse 25, we find here, the Bible says, "Then the other disciples therefore said unto him, 'Thomas, we have seen the Lord.' But he said unto them, 'Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails.'" Jesus knew what he had said because he told Thomas to take his finger and put it into his hands. And then he says, "And put my hands in print of nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side. Unless I'm able to do that, I'm not going to believe." And when Jesus saw him, he used his own words. But he said, "Be not faithless." Now, for Thomas, he had not experienced what the others had. For some, it's easier to believe because of what you've experienced. It's easier to believe because you were raised in a Christian environment. You were raised in a Christian home. You're raised to read and study the Bible. You have the Bible influences in your life that led you to a place where it was possibly a little easier for you to believe that Jesus Christ is a Savior and see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior and ask Christ into your heart. For others, it might not be as easy. You might not have been raised in a Christian home. You maybe had never even read the Bible, opened the Bible. Not everyone has the same experiences in life. But it's still God's will for all humanity to believe. Be not faithless. Jesus knew the importance of faith to believe. Without it, you can't get saved. Without being saved, you will not go to a place of heaven. Verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. I love what he says here. He says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So they didn't see. Thomas didn't see him the first time. And even this morning, you say, I was not raised in a church. I was not taught the Bible. Matter of fact, I was taught something different. I was raised to believe something different. And yet there's still hope for you to be saved. There's still hope for you to believe, but what is there for you to believe? Well, after this, we find that John then was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write verse 30 and verse 31. And he writes this, and he says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe. Signs, some of them written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have, because it takes belief, life through his name. Signs. The very acts of Jesus Christ and the very words that have been written down, recorded for this main purpose, that ye, that's what he says, that ye might believe. Now, that ye is not just the disciples. That ye is for all humanity since Christ came. He knew that he would preserve his word. He knew that his life would impact the world. And there would be signs in the world, and there would be signs in his word for people to look to be able to believe, to have faith enough to believe. And if they would have faith to believe, they could be saved and have everlasting life. That's what he's saying here. He actually says these are written for this purpose. God would have everybody to be saved. It's not God's will that anybody should be lost. For God so loved the world, all humanity. And the Bible says, whosoever, no matter who you are around the world, all people, if you just believe and call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. He wants you to believe that God, the Son, as we studied a little bit in Sunday school in our adult class this morning, that Jesus Christ is God the Son. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's a trinity of God. And God the Son came, and he lived a sinless life. And when the time was appointed, he laid his life down and was crucified, placed in a tomb. But then to prove that he was God, as he had already told them what he would do, in 3 days he resurrected. And after his resurrection, he established Christianity for the world. We didn't see that. You didn't see the birth. I wasn't there. As a shepherd would have been there. I didn't see him walk on planet Earth for 33 years. None of us here have. I didn't see him crucified on Calvary's cross. There was those that did see this. I didn't see him after he had died. I didn't see the resurrected Christ as some have. And yet I have believed. And the Bible says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We believe. Can I tell you, because of what we have experienced and we've placed our faith in, signs. Signs meaning what Jesus did, how he impacted the world. And then reading his words for him to speak to me individually, convict my heart through his word, that I would believe and confess and receive him as my Savior. The very next chapter, in chapter 21 in verse 25, John ends this book of John with these words. He says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. These things would be signs. The signs that he's talking about are the acts of Christ and how it has impacted the world from his coming. And others that have been written down, which is the written word of God, which is the Bible. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Isn't that something? Yeah. We have biblical signs of history that are undeniable, that can lead a person to believe. And believing, be saved. And then there are the signs of the words of Christ that have been spoken and written down and preserved for us to even read today. The very words that he spake are written down and preserved in this Bible here. And through this, it's a sign that has been written down for us to look to. And in looking into and believing the Bible, believing what God has preserved for us, we can believe, which will lead us to confession and reception of Christ. The acts of Christ, the signs, how it has impacted history. Start from today. We're in his church, reading his words as God designed his church, under the preaching that God designed as a way that people would hear the very words of God and understand the very words of God. And even that, we look to in 3 days, celebrating Christmas. Christmas. Christmas in the United States of America, December 25th, it's on our calendar. We celebrate the historical fact of a day that Christ was born. For all my life, it's been a part of my life. Whether you realize it or not, it's been a part of everyone's life in here today. Now, whether or not when you were being raised that Christmas Day was focused on the birth of Jesus Christ, no doubt there's many in here that didn't experience that. There's many in here that just looked at Christmas as a holiday, just looked at Christmas as a day to share presents, and look at as a day to get together with family, whatever it might be. You might not experience it, but it was there in history for you to be able to look to and say that it's been a part of my life. There's never been a Christmas day that I have not experienced. Now, it might not have been a pleasant experience, but it's been a part of all of our lives in the United States. A true believer would never X out Christ in Christmas. A true church would never lose sight of the opportunity to teach on what Christmas is all about. For 35 years as the Lighthouse Baptist Church, you come in the Sunday either on Christmas Day, it's been on Christmas Day many times, or it's been the Sunday before whenever the Christmas 25th lands, you've heard the teachings of the birth of Jesus Christ. Because that's what we experience, that's what we acknowledge. The true church would teach on the birth of Christ because it's a biblical sign of history. In the United States, Christmas was declared a national holiday in 1870. In 1870. Before then, in 1776, a Christian nation was established. And 13 American colonies adopted the Declaration of Independence. And then later on, acknowledged that we need to have a national holiday. And adopted, of course, the Christian calendar had been adopted, but it became official in 1870. This book of John was penned in 85 A.D., these words that John wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, have been preserved for over some 2,000 years. In 85 AD, John penned them. The Jewish temple on the Mount was destroyed by Rome in 70 AD. The Jewish temple relates back to the Old Testament history of the nation of Israel. So much history there. But it all pointed to the Temple Mount. The temple coming across the wilderness and then finally landing in Israel, the land of Canaan, and we find that there the temple was built by Solomon in Jerusalem. And there would be a huge part of history. The Jews were able to worship under Roman authority during the time of Christ. And then after his resurrection, we find then the words of Christ had been inspired and written down. Luke penned the book of Acts in 65 AD, some 5 years before the Jewish temple was destroyed. And in Acts in chapter 11, verse 26, the Bible says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christianity was established by the Lord Jesus Christ first in Antioch. And after that, we find the temple was destroyed. Then John writes the book of John in 85 AD. Rome was so impacted by Christianity that in 300, and Rome's the one that destroyed the temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem in 70 AD. But then in 380 AD, Rome adopted Christianity as a state religion, a form of Christianity that we would know today, but Christianity as a state religion. It's history, impacted by the coming of Christ. The Muslims built the Dome of the Rock on the place of the Temple Mount in 692. Since the Dome of the Rock had been built on the Temple Mount, because the Temple Mount is, it's a place in all human history. Since Israel and all through this New Testament, I guarantee you, the Temple Mount, it's where Christ will return to rule and reign from. The Muslims and the Jews have fought over that, and the Christians ever since then. I can't go into all that took place during that time, but I want to bring you to the next point in history. In 1948, President Harry Truman led the world under the power of the United States of America to recognize Israel as an independent nation. History. Because of a Christian nation acknowledging the birth of Christ and understanding where he was born and what that place on planet Earth would symbolize. And not only that, in 2017, President Trump led the United States to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Can I tell you, history points to Bible prophecy being fulfilled? We have signs of history that ye might believe. How can you deny that? Take the Bible aside, and we're going to look at that in just a minute here, because we have the signs of what was recorded from the very words. But just the matter of fact that he came some 2,000 years ago, a virgin-born Son of God came. He impacted the world and continues to impact the world. How can you deny that? It was not that everyone would be able to see him born in Bethlehem. It was not that everyone would be able to see him walk on the earth. It was not that everyone would be able to personally see him go to the cross of Calvary. It was not that we all would be able to visibly see him resurrect from the grave. It was not that. It was how that in doing that, it would impact history. And history today is signs so that we might believe. That ye, whoever would read the Bible, whoever who would look into it, that ye might believe. And in believing, because you got to believe to have life. You got to believe to confess your sins. You got to believe to ask Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior. You got to believe to be able to receive the gift of everlasting life. But if you can believe, you can have it. If you can believe, the Bible says there's signs. So many that the books of the world could not contain them all. So that you might be saved. Wow, the signs of history. So much there. And then the signs of the recorded words of Jesus. What did he say? What would God manifested in the flesh, walking among humanity, what would he teach? It's been preserved. It's been recorded and preserved for all of us. Not only do we have history that's undeniable, but you can't deny this right here. You can't deny the history of the Bible. You can't deny the words that have been written down. There's so many places we can go to, but I want to take you to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Because in addressing Nicodemus, a religious ruler, and Jesus telling him what he needed to do to be saved, telling him you must be born again, got to have a spiritual birth to go to heaven. And then, of course, the most well-known verse of all of the Bible for us today would be John 3:16. But I want to take you to John 3:17. And he says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." How can you not believe? How can you not believe? It's all about what an individual will do with Jesus Christ. It'll determine your place in eternity. You either believe and receive Christ and have life, or reject Jesus Christ with all the signs that are there concerning history and all the signs that are there concerning what the Bible says and the preservation of the Bible and its content, and you turn away from that, you will not have eternal life. You will not go to heaven. You will die. And you will face death without Jesus Christ and spend eternity in a place of damnation. But if you can just believe, that's what Jesus said, if you can just believe, then you can have life. What's keeping you from believing? Satan blinded you to history, reality. Satan blinding you to the very words that Jesus presented as he came. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're done. Jesus would once again address Thomas. He addressed Thomas before and says, "Thomas, be not faithless. It's important that you believe. If you need to now, if you need, here I am. If you need to come and touch and put your finger in my hand, you need to come and thrust your hand in the side that had a spear poked through that and to see Jesus die on the cross. But yet I'm standing before you now." He said, if you need to do that, come and do that. He said, but be not faithless. Whatever you have to do, be not faithless. And then he addresses him here in John chapter 14. And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." He's going to prepare a place for us. If you have believed and received, amen, then not only do you have faith to live by, but you can receive life everlasting life. And he's preparing a place for you in eternity. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is what Jesus Christ taught. This is what has been written down. This is a sign of his word that has been recorded for us to read and realize this is what he taught 2,000 years ago. And he's kept it for me. From these last 64 years for me to be able to read, to believe. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Listen to me, there is no other way. The truth. There are no other truths. And the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I believe it. Not seen it, but blessed are those who believe it without being able to see it. But we have the signs given us through the life of Christ, how it has impacted history, and how it has been preserved for all of us to read and hear it preached. Do you believe? Be not faithless. God wants you to believe, and in believing, he wants you to receive everlasting life. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. It'll change your life when you truly believe. It'll change your life if you live by faith. Oh, how we need to believe. Father, we bow before you and love you. Thank you, Lord God, for opportunity to read and hear preach the very words that you have preserved for us. And I pray, God, as we have presented your message this morning, that there would not be one person here in this auditorium leave here, walk out these doors without knowing you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray, God, for that one that might be here lost. God, right now, I pray the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I pray strength be given for them to come to this altar and make a profession of faith. I pray for others, God, that know that they believe, but Satan has blinded them to their own faith and they're living a faithless life. And I pray, God, that that would end here today. They would come and confess their sin and they would turn away and start leaving a life, living a life of faith. Whatever it might be, God, whatever decisions need to be made, I pray that right here, right now, each decision would be made and it would change lives. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.